Haribo.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila, chapter 8, text 270 through to 274. And just for context, I'll give you the previous verse because it's very much connected. Ramananda Roy then told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "At first I saw you appear like a sannyasi, but now I am seeing you as Shyama Sundar, the cowherd boy." Next verse. "I now see you appearing like a golden doll, and your entire body appears covered by a golden luster. I see that you are holding a flute to your mouth, and your lotus eyes are moving very restlessly due to various ecstasies. I actually see you in this way, and this is very wonderful. My Lord, please tell me without duplicity what is causing this." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "You have deep love of Krishna. And one who has such deep ecstatic love for the Lord naturally sees things in such a way. Please take this from me to be certain. A devotee advanced in the spiritual platform sees everything movable and inert as the Supreme Lord. For him, everything he sees here and there is but a manifestation of Lord Krishna." So now please repeat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Purport. Due to his deep ecstatic love for Krishna, the Mahabhagavata sees Krishna everywhere and nothing else. This is confirmed in Brahma Sangita 5.38. Please repeat. Premanjana churuti bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva ridayeshu vilokayanti. That's it. As soon as a devotee sees something, be it movable or inert, he immediately remembers Krishna. An advanced devotee is advanced in knowledge. This knowledge is very natural to a devotee, for he has already read in the Bhagavad Gita how to awaken Krishna consciousness. According to Lord Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita 7.8, please repeat, Rasoham apsukantiya prabhasmi shashi suryayoho pranava sarvavedeshu shabdake paurasham rishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable Om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Thus, when a devotee thinks, drinks water or any other liquid, he immediately remembers Krishna. For a devotee, there is no difficulty in awakening Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says here, please repeat today's verse, Stavara jangama deki na deki tara murti sarvatra hoi nicha ishta deva spurti. A saintly person, an advanced devotee, sees Krishna 24 hours a day and nothing else. As far as movable and inert things are concerned, a devotee sees them all as transformations of Krishna's energy. As Lord Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita 7.4, repeat, Bhumirapo nalovayu kammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bina prakriti rashtada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight constitute my separated material energies. Actually, nothing is separate from Krishna. When a devotee sees a tree, he knows that the tree is a combination of two energies, material and spiritual. The inferior energy, which is material, forms the body of the tree. However, within the tree is the spirit, is the living entity, the spiritual spark, which is part and parcel of Krishna. This is the superior energy of Krishna within this world. Whatever living thing we see is simply a combination of these two energies. When an advanced devotee thinks of these energies, he immediately understands that they are manifestations of the Supreme Lord. As soon as we see the sun rise in the morning, we arise and set about doing our morning duties. Similarly, as soon as a devotee sees the energy of the Lord, he immediately remembers Lord Sri Krishna. This is explained in this verse, Sarvatra hoi nija ishta deva spurti. A devotee who has purified his existence through devotional service sees only Krishna in every step of life. This is also explained in the next verse, which is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.45. Stavara jangama dekina dekitara murti sarvatra hoi nija ishta deva spurti. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Smai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vande Hung Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalang Shri Gurun Vaishnavangs Cha Shri Rupang Sagrajatang Sahagana Raghunathan Vitangs Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brinda Vinishvare Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavipyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadham Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity to speak, not at all qualified to talk on such elevated topics. I feel honoured to have Parivida Prabhu in the class. He's a wonderful Sankirtan devotee. Every time he leads Kirtan, he's always in the mood. He's not just doing it out of mechanical thought, he's actually got the bath for it. This is the rasa, and that's why it's always a joy to go and Harinam Sankirtan with him. It's also nice to see a Hofshira of Krishna Prabhu. Nice to see some of my gurus when I joined the Hare Krishna movement. I was just back to Graham, and Toksaja was there at the time. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. And Brindavan Chandra Prabhu, great stalwart for book distribution. Adi Guru, Premanava Prabhu, Haribol, so many of you here. So I'll try and say something relevant. I find this topic is very interesting, the term Ishta Deva Spurti. What does the word Ishta mean? Anyone know? Lovable? Desired? I was going to say desired. Actually, the root of the word ishta is the ich dhatu, as far as I understand. I'm not a Sanskrit pundit, but ichcha means desire. So desired, ishta. So it implies there's some bhav, some connection there. And actually, Mahaprabhu is telling Ramananda Roy, you are actually advanced. That's why you can see what you are seeing, you see. So the topic of this chapter is very much about Raghunuga Bhakti, about the taste for Bhakti, which is intimate, which is very advanced. Actually, one of the previous verses to this chapter, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavatamati Kriyatam Yadi Kutopi Labhyate Tatra Lauyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janma Koti Sukritaya Na Labhyate, that this Krishna consciousness is attained by one thing, one requirement. What is that requirement? Lauyam. What's that? What's that in English? Greed. Good. We have this greed. You know, Prabhupada, where did he get the term Krishna consciousness? He got it from this verse. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati. Mati means to have the inclination, or your consciousness is Krishna Bhakti Rasa, absorbed in devotion to Krishna. Bhavatahi, bhavata means absorption. So if you put all these words together, you get Krishna consciousness. So, you know, Govinda Maharaj, he loves to talk about the Chaitanya Leela, and he really brings it out. And the last time I gave class, I think it was the last time, I did discuss what Govinda Maharaj says about this particular part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, namely the fainting of Ramananda Roy. So I won't go into so much detail, but in essence, what he's saying is the reason Ramananda Roy faints, and he's about to faint in a couple of verses' time, we'll hear about him fainting, is because he experienced something that he'd never experienced before as Vishakha. Because in the Krishna Leela, Ramananda Roy is Vishakha. So Vishakha, she has seen Radha and Krishna before they meet. She has seen Radha Krishna after they meet, but she's never seen them as they actually meet. So the terms are, before meeting is Bhuta Milana, after meeting is Bhavata Milana, and the actual time when they meet is Bhavan Milana. So Bhavan Milana is a very special moment, because that is the moment when Krishna enters Srimati Radharani's heart and steals the Bhav. So we know Radha Bhava Jyoti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. One of the key statements of Chaitanya Charitamrita is to say that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Krishna Swarupam, but Radha Bhava Jyoti, he has the Bhav, the mood, and the Jyoti complexion of Radharani, you see. And in Adi Leela, it is said, Kutuki Rasa Stomam Ritva. That Krishna, he's a thief, and he plunders the heart of Radharani and steals all the rasa. The rasa stoma means the group of mellows that's in Radharani's heart. Now, in order to enter the heart and steal those mellows, he needs to melt the heart of Radharani. So her heart is like wax. He has to melt her heart. How does he melt it? How do you melt anything? With fire, yes. So what fire would Krishna use to melt Radharani's heart? The fire of? Fire of what? Separation, exactly. So by putting Radharani in separation, she burns like fire, and then finally her heart melts, and Krishna can enter the heart and steal the mellows. So Ramananda Roy, when he sees this vision, now what do we see? First of all, he sees a sannyasi, then he sees Shama Sundar, then he sees the golden complexion, the effulgence of Radharani. So what Ramananda Roy is seeing is core to our Gaudiya Vaishnava theology. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahiyana. So he's very privileged, very fortunate to have this vision that actually Lord Chaitanya is none other than Radha Krishna combined, which is like a synergy. It's more than the two together. He says, Govinda Maharaj says, it's like green mango, ripe mango. Lord Krishna's pastimes, green mango. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, ripe mango. And Prabhupada confirms this. He says, Krishna is a failure. Amazing statement. How can Krishna be a failure? He failed for two reasons. Who can tell me the two reasons Krishna failed? Yes, he couldn't experience the bhav of, in particular, which devotee? Radharani. That's one reason. What's the other reason? Okay, now you're splitting that up into three divisions now. Okay, there's three reasons. The Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrasho Vanayaiva Svajo Yena Bhuti Madurima Kidrasha Vamadiyaha Saukyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrasham Veti Lobat Tad Bhavaja Samajani Sachigarbha Sindhau Harinduhu. So Lord Chaitanya's come to experience the greatness of Srimati Rani's love, the sweetness that only she can taste through that love, and the subsequent astonishment and wonder she gets from reflecting upon the sweetness of Krishna. So they're the three aspects of the internal reason of why, this is why Rasa Stoma Ritva, he's coming to steal that from Radharani's heart. But there's another reason, and it's external, but it's not that external. He didn't give love of God so easily. Correct. So it said in the Adi Leela, Prema rasa niryasya kriti asvadana, raga marg bhakti loki kriti pracharana, rasika krishna shekhar parama karuna, edui hetu hoiti ichima udgama. So Krishna came for two reasons, prema rasa niryasa, to taste prema ras, and raga marg bhakti loki kriti pracharana, to spread raga marg, or the raganuga bhakti. So he failed on both accounts. So he failed to taste because he could not taste Radharani's love for him, which is 10 million times greater than his love for Radharani. And he failed to give it. Why? Because he said, sarva dharmam prichaja, you must first surrender to me, then I will give you devotional service. But no one could surrender. The qualification was too high. Practically no one. So when Mahaprabhu comes, he changes the rules. He says, patra patra vachara nahi nahi stana stana. There is no consideration of who is qualified and who's not qualified. Just take it. Have the Maha Mantra, chant it, be blissful, get Krishna Prema. No preliminary qualification, you see. So for those two reasons, so Krishna's a failure, you see. So here we see that Ramananda Roy, not only does Krishna experience more when he comes to Lord Chaitanya, but his associates experience more. And Ramananda Roy is fainting because he's now experiencing the moment when Radha and Krishna come together and when Krishna steals that wonderful Radha Bhav, which is the highest of all rasas. So we're talking here about the vision of the Uttama Adhikari. So which section of the Bhagavatam is the Uttama Adhikari discussed, and the Majjhima and the Kanishtha? There's one of the, which canto is it? 11th canto, right? Which chapter, anyone know? Chapter 2, and who's talking with whom? It's a conversation between Nimi and the Navayogendras. And which of the Navayogendras speaks these verses? I didn't know until I checked. It's actually Havi. One of the Navayogendras is Havi. So he says, Sarva Bhutesh Yuya Pashet Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhagavat Yutama, was it? Bhutani Bhagavat Chatman Esho Bhagavatotama. The topmost devotee sees everything in Krishna and Krishna within everything. Yeah, if we have this vision, then we're always happy. You know, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayati. This material world is very happy. That's a strange statement, isn't it? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi Dukha Dosha Nudarshanam. This place is a place of misery. So which is it? Well, if you have Krishna consciousness, this is a place of happiness because everything is connected to Krishna. You see, that is the vision of the Uttama Adhikari. And what is the vision of the Majjhima Adhikari? Ishvari Taradineshu Balisheshu Dvisatsuva Prema Maitri Kapo Peksha Yakaroti Samajjhimaha. The Majjhima Adhikari distinguishes. Okay, he says he has love for Krishna, Ishvari, he has Prema. Prema, Maitri means friendship, friendship to the devotees. Kripa, mercy to the innocent. This is where we had the Sankirtan festival yesterday. So the book distributors are very glorious because they give mercy to the innocent. And you don't even have to feel it. If you just endeavor to do it, you're still giving out mercy. And then you will feel it later. One time, devotees asked Gaur Govinda Maharaj, why is it so many book distributors can't keep up that service? He said, because they don't have compassion. Interesting statement. If we are strict in our devotional service, and we distribute books, and we develop internally, then that natural compassion will keep us on that platform. It's a very difficult platform, book distribution. It's a razor's edge. It's very hard to stay on that platform and not come off it. So the Majjhima Adhikari, kripa, means gives mercy to the innocent. And apeksha ignores the envious because we can't help people if they're just really envious. Some people are so envious, you just have to keep your distance because it's hurtful to them and to you to have a conversation. If someone's blaspheming Krishna, blaspheming the devotees, is very detrimental to them, very detrimental to hear such things. So you test the water, when you're preaching, you test the water, and if you see undue negativity, then you move on to someone else. This is the principle. This is best for everyone. And Krishna will sort out these people in due course. Now, if you're like Narad Muni, he delivered Mrigari the hunter. Now, we can't just do that. If you're very powerful, you can deliver even such people. But you have to know your limits, and if you try too hard, that is an amaparad. God, it's an offence to teach the glories of the holy name to the faithless people. It's very offensive because it's bad for them. So these are the categories. And then the Kanishta, Archayame Vaharaye, Yapujam Shradaye Hati, Nacha Mat Bhakteshu Chanyeshu, Sabhakta Prakrita Smritaha. The Kanishta Adhikari, who's known as the Prakrita Bhakta, which means a materialistic person, has faith in worshipping the deity, the Archavigraha, but neglects the devotees and neglects everyone. Such a person is not inclined to spread the mercy to the innocent. Such a person does not even show proper respect to the devotees. So this person is worshipping Krishna, but is neglecting Krishna's parts and parcels. So this person is not actually pleasing Krishna to the same degree. Of course, his service or her service to the deity will be appreciated by Krishna, but one must come to the platform of the highest form of worship. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Brindavan Chandra gave a class on a verse from the 8th canto, the highest form of worship. Am I right? Tapyanti lokatpena sadava prayasho janaha paramaradanam tadi purushashakilatmanaha. The highest form of worship, which is meant by the phrase paramaradana, is to undergo austerity for the sake of suffering humanity at large, badavaireshu bhuteshu, because these people are bound by negativity. Badavaira, vaira means envy, moha means illusion. So generally the mass of people, they are under the influence of envy, illusion. And if we're honest, as devotees, we have these tendencies ourselves. And if we don't acknowledge that, our preaching won't be very powerful, because everyone has an eye for envy. Everyone can see hypocrisy. So it's better that we are humble in our presentation and we tell people this is what we aspire for. We don't say we're at that platform, because sooner or later our hypocrisy will be exposed, you see. So this verse from the 8th canto, it's in connection with Lord Shiva. He's drinking the poison. So he's undergoing suffering of drinking the poison in order to help everyone else. So when the book distributors, they go on the street, they understand everyone's suffering, and they have to suffer too. They have to suffer the cold. They have to suffer rejection. But it's for the sake of these people to help them. So this is known as Parama Aradhana, the highest form of worship. So we're talking about a very elevated topic, the Raghunuga Bhakti. And this chapter is not really for the general devotees, but by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we're here discussing it. But if we want to actually come to the platform of awakening that desire, then the best way is through the highest form of worship. It is through keeping our feet on the ground and always trying to distribute Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy, to the fallen conditioned souls. Because this is Parama Aradhana, this is the highest form of worship. And it's through worship that we get realization. And if we try and get realization on higher topics without qualification, without sacrifice, this is known as being sahajya. Being sahajya means taking it cheaply. So we have to understand the difference between real bhav, real taste, and false taste, material. There's a word raga. Raga means attraction. So raga can apply to spiritual raga, and it can apply to material raga. So we want to be very grounded so that we can enter into this higher topic. And we want to be, we want to have humility, and we want to have awe and reverence for the higher topics. The Gaudiya Math had one shloka, Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bangi Matala Harijana Vishayarangi. And they said, we keep the Ragapat, the Raganuga Bhakti path, on our heads. In other words, we worship it in awe and reverence. We don't think we're there. We don't foolishly think we're qualified. But we have great awe and reverence for this wonderful, elevated path of devotional service, which is very intimate, in which we can bind Krishna. Matala Harijana Vishayarangi. The residents of the Gauri Mat are matala, means they're intoxicated. What with? Vishayarangi, with spiritual, that's in brackets, it's not in the verse, spiritual sense gratification. Vishayarangi. Because our philosophy is yukta vairagya. we can have a feast. And we can offer it. We can offer a big feast to Krishna, and we can take the remnants, and our tongue becomes satisfied. So we get to enjoy within spiritual life. This is what's meant by Vishayarangi. We don't follow a dry path, which is very difficult, which doesn't control the senses. But we have ample opportunity to control our senses within Krishna consciousness. So in that mood, it's very good to distinguish between material rag and spiritual rag. So what is material rag? Well, there's a nice verse in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita which describes happiness in the mode of passion. And it said it's Vishayendriya Samyogat. It is born of association between the senses and the sense objects. So the type of happiness, why can we understand Krishna's pastimes? We have some attraction for them. Why is that? Because we already experienced the reflection. If Krishna has a conjugal pastime with the gopis, then we can relate to that. Why? Because we tend to be in the mode of passion, so we experience something similar. We experience certain romantic thoughts, etc. And so we can relate to Radha Krishna's pastimes. The difference is Radha Krishna's pastimes are perfect. The relationship doesn't go wrong. There's no bad ending. There's no misunderstandings. Or if they are, it's part of the rasa. You know, Radha and Krishna, they don't need marriage counselling. They don't need a book about how to develop deep loving attachments within relationships. They don't need to know how to say the right thing in order to not annoy their partner, etc. Because it happens very spontaneously. That is the Vishuddha Sattva relationship. The relationships in this world, they are tinged with passion and ignorance, and therefore we have so many problems, you see. So when Prabhupada is describing the mode of passion, happiness in the mode of passion, well, first of all, Krishna says it's amrita, nectar, in the beginning, but visha, poison, in the end. So Prabhupada gives the example. So a young man and a young woman, they see each other. And then the man's senses drive him to meet her. That's the next stage, you know. You like someone enough, you arrange to meet them. And then he wants to touch her. Okay, so he's meeting her and there's no one around. Oh, let me embrace her. Oh, very nice. And then next stage, sexual intercourse. Ultimately, it's a slippery slope. That's where it ends up. You may not think that's where it's going to end up. You may just think this is a nice relationship and you may think, oh, I have boundaries. But if you're not careful, one thing can lead to another. So here's an interesting question, and I don't have an answer, but I'm putting it out there just to all of you and to anyone online, because I was discussing it with my wife recently. And there's some people have different views on this. And my wife and I, we both agree that a platonic relationship between a man and a woman is practically impossible. The reason being, sexuality will eventually come into it. And actually, research shows it tends to be the case, and it's usually the man that's thinking more about the sexuality than the woman. So the woman's thinking, oh, this is platonic. But he's thinking, I like this woman, and I like being friends with her, but in the back of his mind, he's thinking, I wish it would be more than this, you see. Anyway, I'm putting this out as a question to you all, and you can answer now or later, or you can text me. I'm on WhatsApp, because I want to know if anyone has any realizations or experiences of a purely platonic relationship between men and women within, say, Krishna consciousness, because I'm very interested to know about these things. Because ultimately, we all want nice relationships, and if we have deep relationships within Krishna consciousness, then we don't need to go and find them outside of Krishna consciousness, you see. You know, we have these four regulative principles. If you notice, it's usually one of them in particular that tends to be the problem. Three of them are reasonably easy to follow. But there's one of them, and that's no illicit sex, or no entanglement in romantic relationships. That's the one that tends to be the one that's harder to actually practice. Now, I'm honest about this. I'm not on that platform where I can say, oh, yes, you should be above this, because it's a very high platform. And I know if I'm not careful, I can go down that path as well. So, but actually, if you read the Bhagavatam says the attraction between man and the woman is actually the greatest bondage in the world. So where in the Bhagavatam is that said? You know, it is there, and it's not what I'm thinking of, though. That's, yeah. It's probably in every canto. I was thinking of two places in particular. I'll tell you the verse I'm thinking of. Na tatasya bhaved moho bandas chanya prasangataha yoshit sangam yata pumsho yata tat sangi sangataha. There is no bondage or infatuation greater than the bondage accrued from associating with women or with people who are women hunters. And this was spoken by Lord Kapiladev. The word moha means illusion, which Prabhupada translates as infatuation. So we have to be careful in our society. We have to be very careful, male-female interaction. Actually, I'm not being very woke here. We could be male-male if you're that way inclined, etc. We have to be broad. But there's no, the infatuation is so strong that even if you have good spiritual grounding, very gradually you can start to justify your desires. You can start off by saying, it's okay, I can speak to her because it's to do with devotional service. Then you think, I can speak to her about other things that are nothing to do with devotional service because it's part of my emotional life, and if I'm emotionally balanced, then I can do my devotional service better. And then you think, it'd be nice to walk and go for a walk with this woman because I can't really properly express my mind in the devotee community because there's so many devotees around, so I'll do it in private, then I'll properly be able to express my feelings and I'll sort out my life and I'll be able to be a better devotee. And she'll have done devotional service for me because she'll helped me. And that, this way, you can, it never ends. And you think, you know what, I just have this one desire. I just want to embrace her because I just feel so much attraction for her. It's not sexual, it's just, I just love her and I just want to embrace her and I'll feel happy. Then I can just put it back and I can go back to my devotional service and I can draw a line and it's the end of it all, you know. And we can go down that path, you know. So this is the way, of it's called the slippery slope, the way that the Maya works, you see. So that's why I'm asking you all, if you know any platonic relationships between male and female, let me know about it, you know, because I find it very interesting. Anyway, this verse is already, it's also found in the 11th canto. Adiguru, why are you laughing? Oh, thank you for your contribution so far. Adiguru is answering all my questions. So this same verse is found in the 11th canto, but there's one difference. Natatasya bhaved klesha. There's no suffering. It's a bit harder, actually. There's no suffering like the suffering that comes about through this excessive attachment between the man and the woman. Yoshit Sangha. Yoshit means the woman. So Yoshit Sangha, it's very nice at first, but it's very, very painful in the long run because you can't ultimately fulfill it. Prabhupada says in the purport, in the 18th chapter, he's talking about passion, happiness in the mode of passion. He goes, it ends in misery, and he says it ends in divorce. So many people, so much happiness, and then you wind the clock forward, and then there's a divorce. Because ultimately, lust, anger, greed, so many negative things, they come about through this sangha. So that word is, that attraction, I said it's infatuation, it's very, very powerful, and it can be referred to as rag or material rag. But let's now talk about the other type of rag, spiritual rag. And we can only imagine, see, I'm not on the platform, I can't tell you what spiritual rag actually feels like. But based on my experience of material rag, if I multiply that a millionfold, that's something like spiritual rag, so it must be something absolutely incredible, you know. So what is rag? First of all, to understand Raganuga Bhakti, we have to understand the term Ragatmaka Bhakti. Because Raganuga Bhakti means to follow the Ragatmakas, those who have Ragatmaka Bhakti. So it said, Ishti Svarasiki Raga Paramavishtata Bhavet Tanmayiya Yabhavet Bhakti Satra Ragatmakodita. The Ragatmaka Bhakti means intense absorption in that form of the Lord that you are naturally inclined to. Now, at the beginning of the class, I asked you what's the meaning of the word ishta, means desired. It's in today's verse. It's also in this definition of Ragatmaka Bhakti. Ishti Svarasiki. So sva means personal, rasiki means taste. Ishti Svarasiki means I have a particular desire. And that is a blessing. If we have that, we have been blessed. We've actually had sadhu sangha from a ragatmaka bhakta. And that person has injected a certain mellow in our heart, which is now manifesting. So we're greatly fortunate when that Raganuga Bhakti starts to manifest in our hearts. And Prabhupada says, it's not something you talk about, it happens. You follow nicely, and you're humble, And if you get the right association and it manifests within your heart, and if you try and talk about it before it manifests, then Prabhupada said, you will not become purified, you will become putrefied. He said this, you see. So if we prematurely talk about advanced topics, we will mistake them. We will mistake them for ordinary love affairs, when in actuality, we can only actually experience them when we get the mercy. Bhaktistu Bhagavat Bhakta Sangena Parijayati Satsanga Prapati Pumbir Sukritaya Purva Sanchitaya. The Bhakti comes from Sadhu Sangha, and the Sadhu Sangha comes from Sukriti Purva Sanchitaya. Lots and lots of Sukriti, because devotional service is so rare and it's so valuable. And in order to attain the precious association of a devotee, you need to perform lots of Agyata Sukriti. So that's why it's very good to go out in Harinam Sankirtan and book distribution, because even if people don't care what we're doing, just by seeing the chanting parties or just by meeting a book distributor, some Sukriti is gained, and it builds up, it builds up, it builds up, and it can be this lifetime or in future lifetimes. Finally, it builds up to the point where one gets proper association with a devotee, and then faith arises, or bhakti. Bhakti means, at the beginning stage, means faith. So why are we here? Ultimately, it's due to Sadhu Sangha, no other reason. So yeah, so this is the spiritual. I was talking about raga, material raga. This is the spiritual raga. So what is Raganuga Bhakti described as? Viranjanti mabhivyaktam braj basi janadishu ragatmikam anushrita yasa raganugochati. Raganuga Bhakti means to follow ragatmikam anushrita. Anushrita means to follow the ragatmikas, and they are described as viranjantim. Splendored. Virajanti means they are like, it's almost like they're glowing. Their love is very prominent. Abhivyakta is very expressive. There's an experience. People say that when they met Prabhupada, it was a life-changing experience. When you meet someone who's on a ragatmika, then it's a life-changing experience. Virajanti abhivyakta, that indicates that it's very powerful. So when you follow someone who's on that platform, that is Raganuga Bhakti. So actually, to follow Prabhupada's instructions properly, Raganuga Bhakti. That's what it is. Now, I'll say some interesting things about vision. Today's verse, obviously Prabhupada is just discussing what it means to have this spurti, Ishtadeva spurti. And I find Prabhupada's consistent when he talks about this. And it's consistent in a way that I find interesting. You see, he often quotes this verse from the Brahma Samhita, Pramanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Sandhya Sadaiva Hrida Yeshu Vilokiyanti. So what does Hrida Yeshu mean? Within the heart, right? So we were talking about the Uttamadhikari. He sees everything in Krishna and Krishna within everything. So if you see Krishna within the heart, or see Krishna within the atom, you're seeing Krishna within everything, right? Isn't it? But what's interesting, and I've checked, Prabhupada discusses this verse, today's verse, he discusses it, it's a famous verse, he discusses it lots of times, I think over 20 times, but he consistently talks about it in a different way. Although he quotes the Brahma Samhita about Krishna within the heart, when he actually describes how to be Krishna conscious, he talks about it in a different way. He's not talking about it as seeing Krishna within everything, he's seeing it as everything is the energy of Krishna. So that's saying that everything is within Krishna. And he gives the example, rasoham apsokantiya, you know, I am the taste of water. So his point is, you know, we can have examples. So Prabhupada gives the example, you know, Nanda Maharaj sees Krishna's slippers, right? It reminds him of Krishna. So if you love someone, if you see their shoes, ultimately the love comes up, because that's how it works. So we have to come to that platform where everything we see reminds us of Krishna. But it's not easy. So there's a way to do it. There's a type of yoga of connecting everything you see to Krishna. And there's one chapter of the Bhagavad Gita devoted to this. So what is the type of yoga? You can tell. Vibhuti Yoga. Thank you very much, Janmastami Prabhu. This is Janmastami Prabhu. He's visiting from Brussels. He's like, we went on Harinam together. He likes to go on Harinam. Thank you. So Vibhuti Yoga means to see everything in connection with Krishna. And Prabhupada gives so many examples. But he likes to use the example rasoham apsokantiya. And this is Vibhuti Yoga. It's not in the chapter on Vibhuti Yoga. This is in the seventh chapter What chapter is the chapter of Vibhuti Yoga? 10th, yes, the opulence of the Absolute. So actually, I wanted to double check, because I realized chapter 7 has some of the Vibhutis in it as well. So I wanted to check, is it okay to call it Vibhuti? And I did, because I did a word search, and I found Prabhupada, Russell Hamup's account, and he talks about Vibhuti. So Vibhuti means connect everything to Krishna, and these examples have to work for you. You know, if they don't work for you, you have to make up your own ones. It's okay to make up your own ones. You know, the Vibhutis described in Bhagavad Gita, they're not absolute, because the same Vibhuti, different examples are given in the 11th canto, which contains the Uddhava Gita. So if you say, of purifiers, I am fire, or of purifiers, I'm the wind. There's some different examples. I can't remember exactly what they are. Of purifiers, I'm water. But they are all examples of how you can, what counts as a purifier, you see? So what matters is, are these examples working for you? So I have my own examples. Of footballers, I am Lionel Messi. Or I am Cristiano Ronaldo, okay? Actually, Cristiano's nice. Some people, they talk about Cristiano. He's got the word Krishna in it. So just some, because some people, they say, well, actually, the scriptures say, if you chant, speak things, and the words of the word Krishna is there, and it's broken up, you still make benefit. You still have benefit, you know. Well, we have at the moment. There's a book coming out, and it's very, very well anticipated. Everyone's talking about it, and it was written by someone called Harry. I won't tell you who it is. So we just say Harry, lots of times. Lots of spiritual benefit from that, you see. So anyway, going back. So the Uttamadhikari, Prabhupada says, how do you actually experience, you know, how do we actually come to the platform of seeing Krishna everywhere? And the example is Vibhuti Yoga. We begin by connecting everything to Krishna. Of fish, I am the shark. Of demigods, I am Indra. Of sages, I am, well, of sages amongst the demigods, I am, was it Brihaspati? Or I'm Narad Muni. There are so many examples like that. And that helps us connect everything to Krishna. And once we connect everything to Krishna, then we're Krishna conscious. And that's different from seeing Krishna within the heart. But that comes later, you see. Chayantarasta paramano, andantarasta paramano chayantarastam. Krishna is situated, all the atoms are situated within Krishna, and he himself is situated within every single atom. So the two things are there together, Krishna within everything, and everything within Krishna in this Brahma Samhita verse. So, it's kind of mind-blowing. And Prabhupada, he says something even more amazing. He says, Krishna's never alone. So Krishna's in the atom, and Krishna's never alone. All the living entities are with Krishna. Therefore, all the living entities are within every atom. It's in the seventh canto. There's a purport where he says this. And the Dham, the holy Dham, is everywhere as well. See, so if you're an Uttamadhikari, maybe you can actually see Krishna in every atom. You have that vision. You can see all of Vrindavan Dham. You can see the whole thing. I don't have that vision. But Prabhupada, when he talks about it, as I pointed out, he's always doing it in terms of energies, seeing everything in connection to Krishna. Now, there's some nice examples in the scriptures. We have the example of Mukunda. Mukunda's a physician, and he was discussing with a Muslim king. And at that time, one of the servants came and held a peacock fan above the king to stop him, to shade him from the sun. So when Mukunda saw the peacock feather fan, he fainted in ecstasy. It reminded him of Krishna. So this is an example how to connect even to Krishna. Now, if you're advanced like Mukunda, it just happens anyway. You don't want to faint. It happens automatically. Now, this king was very nice. He got off his throne and he looked after Mukunda and asked him, what's wrong? He said, I have epilepsy. The Muslim king was too clever. He understood, no, he doesn't have epilepsy. He's a Mahasiddha. This is the Muslim king. He's very, very advanced. He loves Krishna so much that he's in ecstasy. You could understand that, you know. We have Radharani. She sees the Tamil tree. And what does she think of? Krishna. Therefore, we have the phrase Tamil Krishna, you know. So these are wonderful examples. And about a year ago, and I can't remember who it was. It was actually a devotee from Scotland, gave class. And he gave a wonderful example. He said, and I think this is a typical Sankirtan example. This is something that you would maybe do on Sankirtan. He said, you're outside a jeweler's shop and you look inside the window. What do you see? And he said, you can see one or two things. You can either see the jewels or you can see your own reflection. So this material world, what do you see? It just depends on what your consciousness is. Yesterday, in Keshava Maharaj was talking about the biggest thing we don't know is the things we don't know we don't know. That's the biggest thing. So we all have a different version of reality. You know, so everyone's living, we're living in the same world, but we're having completely different experiences on many, many ways that we don't realize. It's because our vision is different. So if we have ego, we're like the person looking in the jeweler's shop and we're seeing ourselves. But if we can get rid of that ego, we can see the jewels, we can see Krishna consciousness. To be Krishna conscious, we have to give up our ego. Our ego's the obstacle. It's ahankaratmakam vishvam. Brahma Samhita says this material world is ahankaratmaka. It is simply the ego. Or linga yonyatmaka praja jata ima maheshvari praja. All the praja, all the living entities in this world are linga yonatmaka. They're just the combination of the male and female generative organ. And that's not very nice to be told that. My body, that's what it is. Well, that's all it is. That's where we're at, you see. That is the nature of this universe. And Jiva Goswami, as we're talking about the universe, he says, Beda Bedatmakam Vishvam. Universe is simultaneously one with and different from Krishna. So if we think about it, because it's one with Krishna, then you can be an Uttamadhikari and see Krishna. The universe is Krishna. And then because it's different, you can be detached from Krishna, as in separated due to ego, and you'll experience the universe as different from Krishna. And if we understand that, we can understand how it's possible for an Uttamadhikari to come to the Majjhima platform. It's not a fall down. The Uttamadhikari is still on the Uttama platform, but that person still discriminates. But everything's in connection with Krishna, you see. So these are some thoughts. And I've probably run about enough time. I'll say one more thing. There's a nice verse in the third canto. From Bhakti Yoga Paribhavata Rid Saroja, Ase Shrutekshita Bhato Nanunata Pumshum, Yadyadiyat Taurugaya Bhavava Yantu, Tadavapu Pranayase Tadanugrahaya. If we follow the process of hearing, which is Shruta Ekshita, means seeing through the ears, if we follow this process nicely, then the Lord will reside in our hearts and he will manifest us to us in the way that we meditate upon him. Yad yad diya means as we meditate, tad tad vapu, he will manifest that form. So when we talk about Ishta Deva Spurti, which is today's verse, it's different for different people. Some people, they worship Bala Krishna because they're in Vatsalya Ras. Some people, they're in the conjugal Ras, they worship Kaishora Krishna. Some people, they will worship Lord Ramachandra, they will worship Lord Vishnu, they worship Varaha. There's so many ways. Ishta Deva is a personal thing. It's cultivated. It comes through mercy, but it's ultimately cultivated. So that is, you know, that is the mercy of the Lord that he manifests in whatever form you like. Now, sometimes atheists, they have an argument which appears to be quite strong, an argument that God doesn't exist. And what they say is, well, why is it when people have religious visions, it's always to do with their own particular culture? Or if someone's having a near-death experience, if you're a Hindu having a near-death experience, then you're going to experience one thing. You're going to experience some demigod or something. If you're like a Christian, you're going to experience Jesus or something. So they just say, well, that just proves that none of it can be true. Because it's just because you thought that was the case, you were brought up that way, therefore your experience at death is different from someone else's. Therefore, it can't all be true. There must be one universal experience at death. It's not that everyone experiences something different. But in response, I will say, no, our Krishna, he manifests in whatever form you worship him. So whatever your bhav is, whatever you're interested in, you can experience at the time of death because he's reciprocating with you in that way. And if you're an atheist, he will reciprocate you in a different way. You won't come and manifest at all. And you'll have to die without Krishna, you see. So this is a good. It just shows that some of these atheistic arguments aren't so good after all. And another one is like, well, you know, there's so many religions and they all say each other's wrong. And so they're all criticizing each other. And we say, well, we don't say any religion's wrong as long as it's love of God. All we're saying is as long as it involves developing love of God, you can be Christian, Muslim, or whatever. Prabhupada even talked about you can be a Buddhist. Of course, Buddhist is sunyavad. But even if you go to one of his Hare Krishna explosion, he criticized someone. He says, look, just follow a path. Choose your path. Whether it's Islam, Muslim, Buddhism, even Buddha. He recognized Buddhism is a path because it's worshipping Krishna. Because Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. It's not the best path, but it will take you there. Hare Krishna. So anyway, I've run up. It's got about 5 minutes left for comments or questions. Thank you all for your patience. Dhakshidra Prabhu, Haribol. Have we got the mic? Thank you. We're just going to get you a mic. Okay, I'll read the verse while we're waiting for the mic. Stavara jangamadeki nadeki taramurti sarvatahoi nijaishtadevaspurti. The Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Haribol.
Yeah, I like the... you were making the point about that the path of Raganuga, we worship that, we carry it in our heads, but we never feel that we've attained it. At the same time, in the Sankalpa Kamudi, Sri Rama is encouraging us to analyze where we are so that we can take the next step.
Okay.
And on the whole subject of spontaneity, if you're chanting in Namabhas, they say that the beginning of Shuddhanam is that you start to chant the name with affection. So is affection something that awakens by its own volition, or is it a proactive choice that we exert by ourselves? We decide we want to be affectionate to the holy name. I'm now going to chant and I'm going to exert affection. Is that wrong? Should we just wait?
Okay. Obviously, when we're chanting, is, you know, we can just be totally inattentive. But then if we have a desire, I want to chant, I want to have affection, then that shows we're actually progressing. It's more attentive because we're doing it for the right reasons. It's not mechanical. Now, here's my answer. If we actually start thinking that way, I want to chant with affection, then that indicates we've already received some mercy that we've actually at that point. Because before taste comes the desire for taste. You know, and like Krishna, and he says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ata chittam samadatum na shaknosi mayistiram abhyasa yoga yuktina mami chaptum dananjaya. If you can't fix your mind on me, then itcha aptum, develop the desire to obtain me. So we have to try and desire. So if someone's chanting and once has that feeling, I want to have affection, then I think that's a good thing. And to even think that indicates something sukriti's happening, and then it will actually result in real affection. But the real affection won't come through the mechanical process that you just mentioned, because it's just totally from within. It's nitya siddha. It's just coming from within, and it's just mercy. So even to desire anything, it's actually mercy. If we desire anything at all, it's not like a choice we made. We maybe think I chose that, but it's not. It's actually mercy. And matasmriti jnanam aponang cha, everything, remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness ultimately comes from Krishna as well. But I do think if you don't have to start to proactively think about chanting with affection, because Prabhupada also said, just hear, and if you just hear, then the affection will come anyway, just through hearing. I mean, I don't think about, I got to work on my affection. I don't think about that. I tend to be inattentive, but if I'm not inattentive, I'm just hearing. And so that works as well. You don't have to be proactive, but there's nothing wrong with being proactive as long as it's done the right way.
We had this recently. Mahatma Prabhu was speaking about how we can chant and hear, but we can also feel.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're chanting, instead of just trying to hear, which is like a process,
yes,
and we're very process orientated in the West, so we try and reduce things to mechanics.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to feel the holy name, then you're not just, there's a mood then that starts to become involved. And do we, you know, proactively invoke that mood, or do we have to wait until we're mature enough to want to chant with the right mood?
It's like Goranga boliti hobi pulaka sharira hari hari boliti nayane babinire. We're saying, when is it when I chant the tears are going to come? The we want that feeling to come, right? So it's something our acharyas are doing. So if we are chanting japa with that kind of mood, you know, it's bona fide, you know, of course. Okay, we have. Okay, we'll just. It's more convenient if Brindavan Chandra, because he's next, and then we'll do Parivada, Prayojana Prabhu, and Coco, Haribol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for the class, Prabhu.
Thank you.
I'm not so clear and want further clarity.
It's probably my fault.
Were you saying that at a lower stage, it's Vibhuti Yoga, we see Krishna in his energy? But a higher stage, you see Krishna in his form?
No. I'm saying at a lower stage when we can't think of Krishna, then Vibhuti Yoga helps us to think of Krishna.
Yeah.
We think of other things and say, that's Krishna. Krishna's the lion. When we see the lion, I mean, look at the lion. Aren't they cool? I mean, they sit there, and when they growl, it's just such a deep voice, and they're just so elegant, dynamic, proud. They're kings, you know. You can be attracted to that, and that helps you think, oh, Krishna's got that in all respects. So that's just to help us think of Krishna, that, right? But in the higher stage, then, we're still connecting everything to Krishna. It's not that Vibhuti Yoga ends. And Prabhupada, as I said, when Prabhupada discusses Nitya Ishtadeva Spurti, he's nearly always saying, we see everything as the energy of Krishna. So by seeing everything as the energy of Krishna, we can start off by seeing the lion as Krishna, but we're going to end up by seeing the mouse as Krishna, the camel, everything will be Krishna. We just broaden our perspective, you know. So I'm not saying that we stop Vibhuti Yoga. In fact, seeing everything is in connection with Krishna is what the Uttamadhikari does. He sees everything as part and parcel of Krishna. So everything reminds him of the source.
I'm very interested in this word form that's used in the verse.
Oh, yes. Spurti.
The context of this verse was Ramananda Rai was seeing Lord Chaitanya, the sannyasi.
Mm-hmm.
But when he was seeing him, later on, he saw him as Krishna with the flute.
Yeah, or right now he's seen him as Krishna.
He's seen Krishna as the flute. And if you look at the purport of the verse in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Charito, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur talks about seeing the form of the Krishna within the heart.
Mm.
And he says at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, one actually sees Krishna face to face. So.
Thank you. So it sounds to me like Prabhupada is emphasizing it in a different way to Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And I'll throw a spanner in the works. You know Hari Parshada? He says that in Kali Yuga, you can't see Krishna face to face. You know, the only spurti is within the heart if you become a pure devotee. But Prabhupada talks about seeing Krishna face to face. So I accept what Prabhupada's saying. I don't know exactly what it means, you know. But so yeah, there's the two things are there. But thank you for bringing up the angle of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. That's a nice angle. Thank you. Adi Guru had a very quick one.
You mentioned worshipping Krishna through preaching work, Paramaradana.
Yes.
So, seems louder. So, my question is, a lot of devotees think, oh, when I'm old, I'll just go to Vrindavan or Mayapur, or I'll just retire and do sadhana. But we see very old devotees, they're still preaching. So is it individual, or as a general rule, should we just stay always in Sankirtan?
My personal thing is, I think, personally speaking, everyone should just remain doing Sankirtan as a general rule. But obviously Krishna sometimes Krishna just wants a person to live in Vrindavan, and then that's their service. So it's bona fide, of course. We should want to live in a holy dam. I said Parivida next, so if we could pass it over. And while before he gets the mic, Indra Prabhu said something very wonderful. He said, what is the difference between a dog and a lion? If you throw a dog a bone, the dog's happy with the bone. If you throw the lion the bone, the lion looks to see who threw the bone. So he said we should be like the lion. We should, everything we like in this world, we should think, wait a minute, it's coming from Krishna. Like that. It's kind of, I interview Kijai.
Two things. The word loliam.
Loliam, you know,
it's
yes.
Like generally translated as greed, but I think the word loliam is longing.
Longing, okay.
It's because the stress is there also in Dutch is verlangen. It's the, you put the accent with the accent on longing, you know, like that. But you were mentioning I'm the taste of water. So I in this stage of life, I try to remember Krishna more and more. You know, I do lots of hearing,
water.
Chanting also, but remembering. I've taught myself whenever I drink a glass of water to chant in my mind, and also when I fill the water bottle, I chant. And also when I'm cooking and I have my turmeric in the freezer and then I grind it. It's two maha mantras, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I grind it instead of counting or cups. You know, I put Hare like this. So I count with a maha mantra. Just a little tip for people living at home.
We had cocoa. Or we can go via Vishwambar. Okay, Vishwambar. Or cocoa, I don't mind.
I just it's a comment. When you said at the end, all religions are bona fide, it's correct, because Prabhupada always encouraged everyone, you know, you're a Christian, be a good Christian, Muslim, be a good Muslim. And we should never try to convert anybody. And then in one of Life Come From Life, that book, he says, which struck me 42 years ago, I read it and I liked it. He said, all these different religions, they're like many rivers, they all go in one ocean. And that's Prabhupada's analogy about...
Thank you. It's a nice
analogy.
So
it's not that we are better than anybody else or whatever.
Haribol. So I had a question and then also an addition to the point about chanting with feeling. I'll go with that one first. It's I got this book from Sachinanda Swami and he talks about this. It's like a small black book called Nam something. I can
The living
show
name
later.
Is it?
Huh? Sachinanda Maharaj. Yeah, and in that there's a few poems written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he really brings you into the mood if you just read what he's written, what he expresses. I find that kind of helpful before you start chanting to read that first.
Yes.
My question was just that, why would a Uttama Madhikari come down to the Madhya
platform?
Yeah.
Okay, that's is for the purposes of preaching. You see, an Uttama Madhikari thinks everyone is already a pure devotee, and I have no devotion myself. So that person wouldn't preach if you thought that. If you thought everyone's already a devotee, you wouldn't preach. So you come down in order to discriminate, and then you can give mercy to the innocent.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. We're running a bit late. Prabhuji?
I've never used this mic before.
If anyone wants to leave early, Prasad's probably be served.
Sorry, I've never used this before.
Yeah.
Sorry, Prabhuji. You know, you mentioned about different gods.
Different what?
About the gods and all that.
Yes.
I'm just a bit tangled up with the Swaminarayan ISKCON because I have also my community, we are Gujarati, the Lord Swaminarayan devotee.
Yeah.
Swaminarayan, they believe that he was a devotee of Krishna, but they believe he came as a god. While I'm born and lived here, I believe Swaminarayan has spent much bigger than ISKCON. With a temple and a big program. When it comes to the scripture, I don't get it through my head.
Yeah.
But when it comes to ISKCON, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and everything, I'm enjoying every taste of it. But I've been studying last 1.5 years, 2 years, and been coming last couple of months, ISKCON in London. I've seen you doing the Hari Ram on Saturday. So basically, I'm just a bit tangled up with the beast. I have both respect. How do I balance it? With the Swaminarayan ISKCON.
I think you should just... Do you read Prabhupada's books regularly?
Yes, I do, because...
So just read them, and if it clicks, then you're solved.
Basically, when I went to India, April, apparently I saw Kesha Swami in a flight. I didn't know he was.
Yeah.
And that's where the light opened up.
I wouldn't beat yourself up over the head with it.
Yeah.
Just
because
chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
Yeah.
Read Prabhupada's books. He's the founder of Charivaskan. He's given our vision. And if it gels, it gels.
But unfortunately, I believe that ISKCON haven't explained themselves like what Swamina has done. When you go to London ISKCON, there's not enough space. They sometimes have to shut the doors.
Okay, so we're going to...
That's why I'm...
We have been talking about increasing, expanding the temple, having new properties there. So you're correct. It's a small temple.
When I see the Swamina, they have a big program, a couple of thousand people coming.
Well, we have a big Haveli here, so it's better than in Soho for numbers. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Harishnabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. I just wanted to make this point because when we were reading this verse, it just was coming to my mind again and again. So we have this pastime from the Bhagavatam when we have Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu speaking, and Hiranyakashipu has already exhausted all the means to kill Prahlad Maharaj and is finally like, I'm going to personally finish you now. So when he asks, where is your Lord? Where is your Lord? You know, is your Lord in the pillar? And you can see like Hiranyakashipu, when he used to kind of like twist his eyebrows, all the demigods used to get scared. So even in that state, Prahlad Maharaj, when he looked at the pillar, he could just see the forearm form of the Lord smiling at him and just saying like, look, I'm here for you. So you don't worry. So I thought like that particular pastime was like so much related to this verse because somebody who's a Mahabhagavat sees the Lord everywhere. Yeah. He's never worried. He's always blissful and happy.
And the Lord will even appear in the pillar to Satyam vidatum nija britcha samvitam. To make the Prahlad said he's in the pillar. In order to make that word, these words true, Lord Nrisingadev manifested. So yeah. Yes. We're going to end with the Dakshina Prabhu.
Maybe not fair to ask you this because you were quoting Keshav Maharaj. And he was saying it, but I wanted to ask you.
Yeah.
He said that the thing that we don't know the most is how much we don't know.
Yeah.
And I wondered, even more than that, we don't know that we don't know what we think we know. Is that even more?
Say that again? I have to think now.
We don't know that we don't know what we think we know, even more. Because we think we know.
Yeah, we think we know a lot.
We think we know things because we can remember the verse, you know, it's raining, we say, Matras Marsus de Conteo. So we think we know it. But then we go on and we get disturbed and it says not disturbed.
That's that's what made it. I think it was Socrates. He was famous because he said, people think I know so much, but I actually know nothing. Because any realization, same with Einstein or Newton, they just sort of realize, my God, this is advanced. Knowledge is immense. It's vast, and I've got a tiny speck. I know nothing, because the more you know, the more you know you don't know. So yeah, it's a good point. So which is the answer? Anyway, they're both correct in their own ways. Haribol. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Gaura Premanandi Haribol.